I want to continue the topic that we have been covering the last couple of messages. I want to continue on the topic of the Sabbath. And in some ways, I think, as I was working on this one, I feel like this almost should have been part one versus part three. This may seem a little strange as we go through this one. And if just to remind you a little bit, the point of this series of sermons is to create kind of a framework, to give hopefully a perspective of the Sabbath for us to think about, maybe a little differently than we've thought about it in the past. Or maybe remind a way to encourage us to think about it now. But today, what I want to focus on, and why this one may seem a little bit strange, we're actually not going to talk a tremendous amount about the Sabbath. But we are going to continue to build some of the framework that'll help us to think about the Sabbath, if that makes sense. And then when we get to the end, we'll tile it all up together with a few points to think about the Sabbath. So when we end this message, there's not going to be two or three points that we can go out and change the things that we do. It's going to be more about questions or statements that would help us think about the Sabbath or think about it differently. Or if we're already thinking about it, as the questions or the statements would encourage us to maybe think a little more deeply. So the focus of this message, we're going to spend a little bit on divine order, kind of reset the framework to how to think about some of the previous two messages and some of the points that we brought out. And then we're going to spend some time on two major concepts. The first is going to be the law, and how do we think about the law? And specifically, from how do we think about the law, or how would we have thought about it from a biblical or from an ancient perspective? And how do we think about law today? We're going to do a little bit of comparing and contrasting, because I think it's important as we think about the Sabbath, because the Sabbath was a law. The Sabbath is in the Ten Commandments. And when we think about the Ten Commandments, when we think about the law of God, do we think about it the way that it was put in context and the way that God intends it to be thought of, or do we think about it from a modern, scientific, Western perspective? Because his perspectives are different. And then the second thing that we'll spend some time on is thinking about patterns in Scripture. And we'll spend time on one pattern in Scripture that we see where the Sabbath is incredibly important. And then we'll walk through that, and then we'll kind of end up. And hopefully we'll do that in the next 6.5 hours. If we can go to the next slide. So you think about what we covered in the first two messages, thinking about the Sabbath. So we think about the Sabbath, and I think we can say generally when we think about the law of God, probably the starting point is to take a step back and reconsider who and what God is. Because God is the God of life. Fundamentally, he is the God of life. He refers to himself as the God of life. He emphasizes that all that he is doing is ultimately to produce life. He wants to produce heirs that inherit eternal life, that live with him for the rest of eternity. That is his purpose. What he has done in this creation, the order that he has set, is designed to that end. What we find in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 is we come into a situation at the beginning of Genesis chapter 1 where the earth, the creation, is in a state of chaos. A state that cannot maintain, sustain, or produce life. And throughout the first chapter of Genesis, he creates and he establishes his order. And when he does that, coming to the end of Genesis chapter 1, what we find is the creation is in a state that it can now sustain life. You have land, you have plants, you have animals. you have human beings, and then you get to chapter 2. And the very first part of chapter 2, you have the Sabbath day. God sanctified it. He made it holy. And so in the first part of Genesis 1, you have the process to sustain physical life. And then at the beginning of chapter 2, you have the Sabbath day, which is intended to sustain spiritual life, connection with God. The other major theme that we see, especially in connection with the Sabbath, is that of alignment and in divine order. And aligning to God's, the alignment means we align to God's order. God has a way of life. He has established an order in life that ultimately produces life. We've referred to this in different ways. We've talked about it in the past as two trees. We've talked about it in two paths to life. But there is a path that leads to life, and there is a path that doesn't. What we have the opportunity to do is when he calls us into a relationship with him, we're given the opportunity to choose life, to align to his way of life. Then when we think about the third major theme that we've talked about in the two previous messages, we have the theme of relationship. And that human beings, according to God's timing and his purpose, and his purpose is ultimately to include all of humankind, all human beings will be invited into a relationship. They're invited into his presence. And in that relationship, and specifically on the Sabbath day, we look at some of the terminology. It's a time where we're invited in and refreshed. So one of the things that we explored in the previous message, there is a play on words in the Hebrew. In Genesis, when we see that human beings are created, the term for human beings is nephesh. When we get to the covenant with the Sabbath, the terminology that is used there is kind of a play on words. It is the term nephesh, naphash, N-A-P-H-A-S. And it means to fulfill. And in Exodus 31, what we see is it's on the Sabbath day that we are fulfilled, that we are refilled, that we are filled up, because that's what the term means, naphash. And so human beings, nephesh, are called into a relationship with God. We are given the Sabbath day and a time where we are spiritually filled up. So we see that theme. We see this theme of relationship, and we see this theme of when human beings come into a relationship with God, God gives them the Sabbath day so that we can remain refreshed and we can have life. We also see, and this was in the last sermon, from God's perspective, the idea of covenantal rupture, meaning to God, when he enters into a covenant and he has a relationship with a human being, and they break, when Sabbath breaking is engaged in, right? When we break the Sabbath, it leads to a profound rupture in the relationship. So we think about that. The Sabbath is critically important to the covenant relationship that we enter in with God. And when we break the Sabbath from God's perspective that we see in Jeremiah chapter 4, it's not just an oops. It ruptures and it does violence to the relationship. So that's what we covered before. So we think about the Sabbath day and we think about these themes. What we see is these themes carried throughout Scripture. We also showed that we see these themes in Genesis. We see these themes in Exodus. We see these themes in the prophets when God talks about the Sabbath. But that also translates to the New Testament. It's what we explored in Mark 2. The same themes. The importance of the Sabbath, the importance to the relationship, the purpose of the Sabbath being a part of God's order. So what I want to turn to now, so we think about that. That's the position of the Sabbath, the importance of the Sabbath. We can go to the next slide. What I want to spend a little bit of time on is how do we think about the law? So we're talking about the Sabbath day. We're talking about these themes. Why talk about the law now? Well, the Sabbath day is kind of unique because the Sabbath is a part of the Ten Commandments. It's a part of what we traditionally consider the law. The Sabbath day is also a part of God's divine order, and it predated the giving of the law to Israel. We're going to see it also. There's evidence, clear evidence, I believe, that Abraham kept the Sabbath, even though what we don't read is Abraham kept the Sabbath, but there's clear evidence that he did. But what's really important, I think, when we think about the law is the mindset and the approach that we have towards the law, especially when we consider the way an ancient person would have thought about the law and the way a modern scientific person, like those of us here today, would think about the law. So from the time that we're in school, junior high and high school, we're taught the scientific method. We identify a hypothesis, we look for the facts, we look for logic, we apply logic. When we have a hypothesis, logic, facts, we come to a conclusion. When we come to that conclusion, then we know that conclusion until it's modified by something else is the truth. There's a thought process we're taught. But is that the way an ancient person would have thought about life? And in particular, law. So what I've done is I've got a couple of slides here. We'll walk through them. And I'm going to tell you right now, these slides are going to be the most exciting part of your day. So buckle up. We're about to get started. The excitement is going to be bubbling over here in a minute. But what I want to do is go through some of these aspects of the law and compare and contrast and think about, if you were an ancient Israelite, or if you were an ancient person, how would you think about things? And then think about how to compare that to how we think today. And we're going to look at it from a perspective of law. So the basic view. When we look at the biblical view of law, even the term that's generally referred to, that we highlight as the law, which generally refers to the Torah, it's not law in the way that we think about it today. It's about instruction, it's about teaching, and it's about guidance. So if we think from a modern Western view, law is generally viewed as rules that are imposed. I thought about some of the wording here. I don't know that the wording is perfect, but I'm trying to create a comparing and contrasting. When we think about laws from a Western mindset, these are rules that are imposed by some external authority. We may agree or not agree, but generally the rules are imposed. We think about the purpose of the law. From a biblical perspective, the law is given, the Torah is given, to live a life aligned with God's holy nature. Right? So let that sink in for a second, because this is a theme that we're going to talk about a little bit more as we go through. It is given to live a life so that we can live in alignment with God's nature, so that we can conform, we can understand his nature, at least to some degree, and begin to conform our life to that. If we think about a Western view, it's more about how do you regulate and control behavior. So now, why is the law given so that we can begin to conform our life to God's nature? How can human beings know what God's nature is like and how we conform to who and what he is? I mean, our goal in being called to have a relationship with him is to develop his character. The law is that guide. And if we don't have the law, how do we know what he is like? How do we begin to try to understand him? To understand how we should act in his presence, unless he tells us. Very different thought process. Then if we think about another aspect, Is the law relationship-based that we heard about earlier, or is it impersonal? We think about a biblical view of law. The law is deeply relational, and it is rooted in faithfulness and love. And it is rooted in faithfulness and love as we interact with human beings and as we interact with God. A completely different ethic. If we think about a Western mindset and the laws and the way we think about laws today, laws are impersonal. It's simply a system of rights and obligations, of penalties for breaking it. What's the intent? If we compare and contrast, the intent of a biblical view and of the Torah is to align our life with God's nature. It's to cultivate holiness, purity, and covenant faithfulness. So the law gives us the guide. It tells us how to engage with God. It tells us how to be appropriate in His presence. When we think about a modern view and how modern man views law, it's more a modern person. It's more about avoiding punishment. It's how we secure personal rights. And it's how we think about maintaining social order. So just, first slide, think about the difference. And as we're going through this, I want to just ask a question to yourself. When we think about God's law, when we think about the Sabbath, when we think about the laws and the statutes and the judgment that God has given us with regard to how we interact with each other, which view are we thinking about that law from? Is it a guide? Or is it a system of punishment? Is it a system of control? Now, when we think about the Sabbath, how do we think about the Sabbath and the purpose for which it was given, and how we think about engaging with God on the Sabbath? Do we think about it from a Western perspective, where law is viewed as legalism, a system of control, a system of punishment, of do's and don'ts? Or do we think about it from a biblical view, that there is a purpose for which it was given, and it is intended to lead and guide us so that we know how to interact with God and we understand better His divine order that leads to life? How do we think about it? We can go to the next slide. A little bit more. So what's the source of authority? From a biblical view, and you find this in many ancient and Near Eastern religions, but an ancient person would view law coming from a god. But when we think about the biblical view, it is absolutely clear. The law is an extension of God's character and nature. And I think this is a fundamental point. We are called to a relationship. We're to develop His character. He doesn't need the law. The law was given to us. He embodies the law. He is holy. So what He does is an extension of that law. If we look at it from a modern Western view, law comes from the Constitution, a state, a collective agreement. But that body, those group of people, have the ability to change the law. So when we come into a relationship with our Father and we understand His divine order, we don't have the ability to change the law. He gives us the choice to understand it and align to His order. We think about the law. How do we think about it, right? And applying it to our own life and even with the Sabbath day. Which mind are we using? What's the expected response? right? What is the expected response from each of those views? Well, when we think about it with our God, the expected response that he wants is he wants a faithful people that base their actions on love and loyalty. Society, the way we approach law is compliance. We do it out of a lot of reasons we do it, out of duty, fear, personal benefit, stabilization of society. There are a lot of reasons, but the expected response is completely different. What's the role of life? What's the role of law in the life? Biblical view, modern view. The law is intended, as it's given to those who have a relationship with God, for shaping our daily life. It is not just about worshiping. The law reveals the character and nature of God. Fortunately, we have the Holy Spirit now, which means that we understand a lot more. We understand not just some of the physical acts, but the intent, the why behind the law. And that's expected to change who and what we are. But if we think about law from a modern perspective, a scientific perspective, it's simply a set of rules to follow. And if we, as a society, don't like the rules, we change them. And finally, what's the tone? So when we have the law, what is the tone God want when he reaches out to the people, reaches out to us, we have a relationship, and he gives us his law so that we understand who and what he is, and we can align ourselves to that, and we maintain that relationship. The tone that he wants, the approach, the thought process is one of joy, of love. And he wants the law not just to be something that we do. He wants it to be what we become. Because the law is an extension of what he is, and he wants us to be like him. Be you perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be you holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. That's the tone he wants us to set in our lives. But if we think about it from a modern perspective, too often the approach to law, the tone that is legalistic, it's external. It's seen as restrictive, especially when people in the modern society look at the law of God. That's the reason we want to change it, right? We want to change the law. We don't want to change us. So the thing, as we kind of close the most two of the most exciting slides you're going to see all day today, what I want you to think about is, when we're thinking about the law, when we think about the Sabbath, which mindset do we use? Has the Sabbath become to us a legalistic approach where I set up, or even the law of God, do I have a list in my mind and I go, I can do these things, and if I do these things, it's good. If I do these things, it's really bad. And is that as far as we've gone? Is that the way we approach it? Or do we take the approach, especially with the Sabbath, where we really think about what is God's purpose? This is a time that he has set aside at creation. This time he sanctified. The only time that he's done that, the Sabbath's in the holy days. And since it is holy, it has his presence in a unique way that is not there the rest of the week. And he enters in because his presence is here, and he expects us to enter into this time and engage with him so that we can be refilled, so that we can be refreshed, so that we can maintain our alignment and ultimately have life. What is the mindset that we use? Is the Sabbath restrictive? Is it what I can't do, or is it what I can do? How do we think about it? What view? So now I want to shift gears a little bit. If we can go to the next slide. I want to think about patterns here for a minute. What we find in Scripture, especially if we think about the way ancient people would have thought about Scripture, and to those with whom much of this was written, patterns were really important. A lot of society, ancient society, communicated in stories and patterns and symbols. They didn't have a lot of written documentation. I mean, if you go back to ancient Israel, you couldn't, they were told to write the laws on in parts of their house, on the fence, on the posts as you go out. They were supposed to have the law written, but they didn't have a copy of the Torah, of the full law. It was too expensive. It was too difficult to get. It was too time consuming. So a lot of the law, a lot of the stories were passed down from generation to generation. And what we find is the Bible is often written in a form, in a literary form, where you see patterns repeated over and over and over. And so paying attention to patterns is incredibly important. The other point that I would make, there are times in Scripture that God will highlight a pattern or he will repeat things. And when he repeats things or we see things set in patterns that are recurring themes over and over and over, it's generally something we should stop and really consider because he's making a point of emphasis. And we see these narratives, motifs, and themes. We see these repeated patterns. There's just a couple, starting from Genesis. We see the pattern of law, right? We see the pattern of marriage and family. We see the pattern of promise, human failure, divine faithfulness, going to renewal. So we see this pattern of God will call a people, he will make promises, they make a covenant, and then we see people fail, and that goes all the way to where he will reach out and renew that connection again. We also see the pattern, we see it all through Judges, we see it through other parts of the Bible, where we go through this pattern of sin, servitude, supplication, and salvation, where God will hear the cry of his people, he will intervene when they are chained up or when they are serving. He called us all out of that, out of this cycle. The people repent. And then they enter into a process of salvation. But patterns in Scripture reveal God's consistent character. And these patterns invite us to live in step with his divine order. Because what we see is these patterns will begin to communicate his order, his ideas, and the thought processes that he has. One of the patterns that we see consistently throughout the Bible is the Sabbath. We see this rhythm of rest, relationship, and renewal consistently applied throughout Scripture. And we see that beginning from the very foundation of creation, the very beginning. So what I want to do now, I want to take a step back and I want to look at one of the patterns that we see, the pattern of relationship, because the Sabbath day is incredibly important, especially when we think about the pattern of relationship with God. So I want to break that apart. There's a couple of questions we should ask ourselves. We should ask ourselves, is it really a pattern? Right? Does God act the same way? Do we see his consistency when he's establishing covenants and relationships? And then what can we learn from that? Especially as it pertains to the Sabbath. We can go to the next slide. So patterns are important, and some of this we've touched on, because the Bible is not merely a collection of stories or law, but it's carefully crafted revelation. And it's through patterns, themes, the literary design, where we see God's character, his values, and we see revealed very powerfully his plan of salvation. We see God's character revealed many times through patterns. patterns can bring clarity to our life, because they will from time to time highlight what he values and what he prioritizes. It bridges ancient thinking, right? It helps us to see things the way that an ancient would. But the last point on here is one that I would really encourage us to think through. Patterns at times help us discern. When we live in a world like we do, that is filled with competing priorities, with relativism, shifting values, patterns can help us recognize what's of God and what's not. It is easy to get into the Bible and pick out what we want, and not allow the Bible to interpret itself and allow God to communicate to us. Then go to the next slide. The pattern of relationship. So we do see a common approach when God establishes a relationship. There are four parts of the pattern that I pulled out. Actually, you could probably do seven or eight, but I was just joking about being here 6.5 hours. If we went through all seven or eight, we'd probably be here a longer time. But I think these are some of the really important ones when we think about how God engages people. And the pattern that we see repeated throughout Scripture fairly consistently, it starts with a calling. God initiates the relationship. Human beings do not have the ability to initiate the relationship with God. Right? He's the one that does that. And we're going to go into each one of these just a little bit more in depth. A covenant is established. So once an individual or a people are called, and I think this is really important, God binds himself to the covenant by his own word and character. So when God establishes a covenant or an agreement with an individual or a people, he binds himself, he commits to that covenant. He commits to that relationship. So if you were baptized, when we were baptized and we accepted a covenant with our Father, he bound himself to that relationship based on his word and his character. He expects the same thing from us. When we think about our relationship, when we think about the seriousness with which we keep the Sabbath, the seriousness with which we think about his law, and about aligning ourselves to his way of life, he wants the same commitment, the same binding that he displayed. Next step is alignment. God provides the opportunity, once we're in that relationship, for us to align to his order. He gives us his law. For us, we receive the Holy Spirit. We can understand his purpose, and allows for our lives to be transformed and to begin to reflect his nature and his character. And then his ultimate desire, the final step, is dwelling with those whom he has a relationship. So I said before, when we think about God establishing relationships, can we see these consistently applied through Scripture? So I want to take three examples, and I want to go through three examples and show where God has been, the pattern he's set. And the reason that patterns are important, I think this one is fairly definable, and I think it's meaningful to us, but his pattern of divine order, the order that he has set in life to produce life, the way he expects life to be lived, the pattern around the Sabbath of rest and renewal is no different. Once we see these, if we start to look for these patterns, you see these patterns repeat. And the pattern of the Sabbath repeats just like the pattern of relationship. God is consistent. In Hebrews, what does he tell us? I am the same today, yesterday, and forever. So let's look at these briefly. Let's go to the next slide. Let's start with calling. So we think about Abraham, Israel, and us today. clearly God initiates the calling or initiates a relationship. He calls the people to himself, not because they deserve it or merit, but because of his purpose. And we see that with Abraham. So what do we see in Genesis 12? Genesis 12, God called Abraham and he said, go out from your country. Come to me. What do we see with Israel? When God heard Israel, he was talking to Moses and he said, I have seen their misery. I am sending you to bring them out. I'm bringing them out to have a relationship with me. What about us? You're not here of your own volition. You didn't decide just to show up here. We don't get to just say, hey, God, I'm ready now. I wasn't before, but I am now. No, he calls. We see consistency in the calling with the pattern he uses to establish relationships. What about covenant? Establishing a relationship with those he's calling to himself. In Abraham, covenant promises, Genesis 15, Genesis 17. In Israel, we have the covenant confirmed after the people had been called out of Egypt. They've gone through the Red Sea. In Exodus 24, we have the confirmation of the covenant, right? We have the establishment of the relationship. What about us? Luke 22, Jeremiah 31, Hebrews 8. The pattern stays the same. It's consistent. We can go to the next slide. What about alignment? Once God establishes a relationship, does he provide for the opportunity for those who are now in his presence to be able to conform to his order, to his way of life? What do we see with Abraham? Genesis 26. And this is interesting. Let me take just a minute here because I think this deserves just a little bit more of a thought process. There are some who would say, look, the Sabbath was a part of the Old Covenant. And when the Old Covenant, or when the New Covenant came, the Old Covenant was done away. We don't need to keep Sabbath anymore. This is a fascinating look at language. So when you look at Genesis chapter 26 and you read in the my commandment where God said about Abraham that he obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So that's what Abraham did, right? This is pre-Mosaic covenant. That is the exact same terminology that we see in Deuteronomy 17. Same phrase. We see this phrase in parts throughout the whole Mosaic covenant. What God is saying, I have an expectation of my people to align themselves, and my law is consistent. You can't just take the Sabbath out. This was pre-Mosaic covenant, and the terminology is the same. The Hebrew is the same. Terms are the same. So we see clearly in Israel, the law was given to shape national life. You know, what's fascinating is when you look at, and we've mentioned this before, Leviticus 17 through Leviticus 27, the Holiness Code. The Holiness Code was given to Israel to help them understand what it meant to be a holy people. And it wasn't just about going to the temple and sacrificing. It covered all areas of their social life. What he wanted was he wanted a people that transformed their life and began to live a way of life that was in alignment with him. That's the goal. He gave the people that opportunity. Clearly, they didn't have his Holy Spirit, but for us, we do. And then for us today, the law should be written in our hearts. In Rome, we see that in Romans, we see it in Galatians, we see it in Jeremiah. That's the expectation. The law begins to shape or transform our lives so that we reflect him. In that relationship, we come into an alignment. So we still, we have consistency. What about dwelling together? So what we find with Abraham, what we don't find is a scripture that says, and God dwelt with Abraham. What we do find is that in Genesis 17:1, God was working with Abraham and he said, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. There was a relationship and there was a dwelling together. In Israel, God put his sanctuary in the middle of the people. For us today, when we are converted, God's Holy Spirit is within us. We are constantly in his presence. Clearly, there is a difference on the Sabbath day. He enters this time, and his presence is here like no other time. But we are always in his presence when we have his Holy Spirit dwelling within us. So what do we find then in how God establishes relationships? We find consistency. We find consistency with the Sabbath. Right? The Sabbath is a pattern that he has established for rest and renewal. Then go to the next slide. Wow, 6.5 hours already. So what about the Sabbath? So we talked about God's divine order and themes that we see, especially in the context of the Sabbath. We compared the law and how do we think about the law? We thought, you know, we looked through God's consistency and patterns and the importance of patterns and that he is incredibly consistent. How do we think then begin to think about the Sabbath? The Sabbath is not just a law. We can even say the law is not, it's not just a law. It's a part of his divine order. It's a pattern, if you will, that is intended to produce life. When he gives us his law, it's a way for us to understand his nature and character so our lives can be transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can align to his order, which ultimately results in eternal life. Is that the way we think about the Sabbath? Another point, the Sabbath is a vital part of our relationship with God. The Sabbath is a time where we stop, where it reorients us and how we use our time. It should reorient our desires and our attention to focus on our Father, to focus on his presence and our connection with him and our alignment. I think the other thing, if we think about God's divine order, and that he has ordered the entire creation. I mean, think about that. Everything that he has created is focused on one purpose, to produce heirs, members of his family, for all eternity. The Sabbath teaches us that life flows from his presence. And on this day, we have an opportunity to enter into a time with him that he enters in like no other time during the week and connect to him and to be refilled, to be refreshed. Is that the way we think about the Sabbath?